The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? It's Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but each sound effect has a positive impact on people, we hope. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, most news intends to have a negative impact on people. That's what keeps people coming back. Wow. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because we desire to have the impact of helping people get one step closer to the Lord. That's why. And also Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. I don't think you understand. We really don't know what we're doing. No, let me explain this to you. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, what impacts you the most? Wait. In the joy direction. What just like, oh man, I love it. What is it? Is it a person? Is it a scenario? Is it devotional? Is it spiritual? Is it your kid smiling at you? Is it your kids remembering your birthday? Hint, hint. Is it any of those stuff? That stuff? That's the question we're asking for. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's just sad. Just reach out and give us a call. All you got to do is use the phone. I know it's complex, but it's there for you. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing. I love that. I just want that.
I'll be doing that when I get home tonight.
Is that right? You know, I just want everybody to know, Jacob, taking on the full reins today. I just want to give you a great acknowledgement. He is running the entire station today. Jen's off, by the way. She's had a procedure. She's doing fine, but she'd still be praying for Jennifer so that she can have quicker and quicker recovery and feel better. That's really a great thing you could do for her. She'd appreciate that. We'd appreciate that. Everybody needs Jennifer here in this station, or there is no station. So let's just make that real simple. But Jacob filling in and doing an excellent job. Good job, Jacob.
Yep, so far so good. It's not chaotic yet.
Yeah. So nobody has actually taken the building and moved it to outer space at this point.
No, not yet.
Okay, I'm just checking with you.
Day's not over yet.
Yeah,
we'll see.
That's right, the day's not over yet. All right, a couple things also to let you know. If you want to reach us, you can do that by phone. If you're in San Diego, by the way, it's 11:35 and 59 seconds. If you're in Texas, it's 1:36 and 2 seconds. So we're live right now on this day. What day is that, Dave? It's October 19th. And if you've got something you want to share, great. If you've got something you want to call in and talk to us about, great. We also want to give you the opportunity to text. What? You mean I can text during a live show? Yeah, sure. We do our best. We can't get to everything, but, you know, we do our best. It's 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Definitely not a professional voice coming up right now.
214-210-8483.
So you can either call us, you can text us, you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, two D's, one A, one V, one I, david@hemustincrease.org from John 3:30. John 3:30. Yes, he must increase, I must decrease. So the whole ministry is based on he must increase. So it's david@hemustincrease.org. Org, just making sure you know that. We're also going to send you up to the website. A couple of things to tell you there. I got to share something that happened personal. I don't know when I'm going to share it, but it's going to come pretty soon. So the idea, though, on the website is to encourage you. Now, there are people that go through a lot of things, and they might even be thinking, you know, I feel pretty encouraged. I want to take it to the next step. There's stuff on the website to take it to the next step. There's stuff on the website to take it to the first step. There's stuff on the website to take it to every step. That's the goal, to encourage everybody to draw closer to the Lord one step at a time. As well, there's an opportunity to give and partner on the website. And we, you know, I used to hate asking for money, and I kind of still do hate asking for money. But we're low, and we need money. That's the bottom line. If you can give, that's great. We're not going to send you a cupcake or a Ferrari. We're going to give you a receipt for the end of the year for giving because we're 100% nonprofit tax deductible. That's all you're going to get. But you will be helping us advance the kingdom, and that is what we want to do in our ministry. If you want to check that out, our verse for today, by the way, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. That's what the Lord asks of us to do. Give him the best, not the least. Check all that stuff out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Now, Jacob, you notice that I don't have any hair on my head, right? That's what I used.
No, I didn't notice.
Yeah, that's what I used to cut my hair last night. Kind of a laser thing. All right, anyhow, it's a joke, folks. I use my little electric razor within the blade and then the electric razor. Don't ask. Okay, it's a long, long, long process. Here's the bottom line. There's so much to cover, and I cannot cover it all. It's not possible. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you guys, I'm putting the burden on you to pray for Israel. Psalm 122, verse 6 says to pray for the peace of Israel. Do that. That's what you're supposed to do. In Numbers, it teaches us that those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. I don't think that's complex to figure out what's going where. I understand some people don't like the Bible. Terrific. I do, and I believe it's the Word of God, and I believe that God who created the universe can write a book. If you believe that too, then you want to stand in with the Word of God. Get that? Pretty straightforward. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and not the easiest portion. As you have noticed, that 2 Corinthians has these really cool, like, up, 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 and then these other challenging, whoa, look out, people. And so here's what you got on the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because we're going to pick it up basically, technically, about halfway in on verse 7. So we had finished last week saying you were looking at the outward appearance, and we did the entire teaching on that. Now here's the next line, and you must settle yourself when you hear this and listen to what Paul is saying. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should remind himself that we belong to Christ just as much as he does. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? It's a challenging thought, but one that we have to balance between wisdom and pride. Paul's saying if anybody thinks they belong to Christ, he reminds them that, hey, we also belong to Christ just as much as you do. So most Christians don't like thinking around this realm, but slow it down and consider. You're genuinely a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. You know you belong to Jesus Christ. But sometimes it's hard to give way and acknowledge that in the same way you know you're in, other people know that they're in. And that's, of course, why we have certain things like the plumb lines, like the Word of God and the fruits of the Spirit, because these are things that help us understand the truth, and then different fruits and different productions in people's lives help us understand the ins and the outs. But what Paul is saying is he's writing to these people who are trying to come off like they are superior Christians. And it's amazing because Paul, by far, who's writing a great majority of the New Testament, is the one that's like going, hey, if you think you're in Christ, we are too. And that's a truth that you and I have to wrestle with, that sometimes we might, as Christians, guess what, come to different conclusions. There's nothing wrong with that. Unity is not conformity. Unity celebrates in the diversity we can have with one another, but keeps it all under the head, which is Jesus Christ. And remember, there's unity in the Father, our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're blood relatives, and in the Holy Spirit, we drink of one Spirit. And the Scripture says to keep the unity, not to find it, to keep it. It's already there in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've got to hang on to it. So when you have different opinions or different approaches, when you have even, I know people really hate this, different denominations, there shouldn't be so many denominations. Well, how is the body supposed to have different parts in mass and large if there's not differences? And the people that are up by the arm and the people that are down by the knee are looking at things very differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we got to be careful not to be so prideful to think, oh, I'm in Christ. I don't know about everybody else. Be careful there. Remember, we love who and what God loves. That's how we approach it. Then he says this, and I just want to drop that on you because it's important to understand what he's trying to tell him. He says, for this, for even if we boast somewhat excessively, this is verse 8, about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed. Now, I love this stuff. I'm an encourager guy. I think when you talk about, you know, Barnabas, son of encouragement, that's, you know, that's one of my main guys, him and Apollos, of course, Paul. But I love Apollos. I love Barnabas because of, you know, fierce in the word, but really strong and committed to encouraging. And Paul says, we have authority, man. We are in the Lord. We are doing the things the Lord wants us to do. He's called us to do this. But we have been called, listen, to build you up rather than to tear you down. Let me make a definite point here. Paul, it's a wonderful theological gem. He makes it clear that God has given him this authority as an apostle, as a kingdom builder, as a brother, and that this design and position is for the purpose of building up, not tearing down. Here's what I want you to catch. There's nothing wrong with being challenged to walk in an upright and holy life before the Lord. When somebody does a great sermon and you're listening, or a great teaching, or you're doing a review in Scripture and the Scriptures challenge you and say to you, hey, step up, do a better job. There's nothing in error about that. There's nothing wrong with that. When the preacher's preaching and he goes, it'd be nice if we would really show love instead of talk love. Hey, that's exactly right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no error in that whatsoever. But there are a group within the body of Christ that go about ministry with almost a wrong spirit, spending most of their time ripping people to shreds and then just leaving people out there to bleed. And there is something vastly wrong with that spirit. There is something vastly wrong with a preacher who preaches about sinners going to hell and smiles and dances versus a preacher who preaches about sinners going to hell and mourns and weeps. There's a big difference. And if the minister or the ministries that you're involved with are people that tend to dance on graves, that's not a good thing. That's not maturity. So Paul even says, look, we've been given this authority. We've been given the authority to build you up, not to tear you down. Do you know it's super easy to tear people down? Have you noticed that? Wait. Have you noticed it's super easy to tear yourself down? Have you ever noticed that? In fact, it takes a much more concentrated effort to build yourself up than it does to tear yourself down. And yet Scripture is filled with commands about God being a God of life who raises dead to life. And that's what he's trying to do in all of us, practically, in the sense of how we walk on this planet, spiritually, reflective of Jesus-wise. And so the whole premise here is to understand what Paul's saying. Look, we belong to Jesus just as much as the other people. And these other people, you know what they were doing to some of the people at Corinth? They were ripping them to shreds and telling them, you're no good. And they were almost glad about it. And Paul's like, no. We want to lift you up. We want to encourage you. We want to build you up and strengthen you so you can reflect light, so you can reflect truth. That's what he's talking about. All right, let's slow it down right there. As we move into our trivia question, so if you're in Dallas or you're in San Diego, don't hesitate to reach out for the answer. Here's the trivia question. Who was David's father? Who was David's father? Was it Jesse, Saul, or Abner? Who was King David's father before he was king, when he was a baby? That's the reference point. Who was David's father? Was it Jesse, Saul, or Abner? Jesse, Saul, or Abner? If you think you know the answer, you can simply call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in. Well, that's nice. 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who was David's father? Was it Jesse, Saul, or Abner? 1 Samuel 17 would be your most immediate or best or simplest reference point. I'll just leave that there. Reach out to us if you think you know the answer to the question. Now we're going right back to the text. Why? Because there's just so much to cover. And I want to make sure we get to it. Here it is. We are now in verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. I don't know if you noticed this, but we're closing in on like four or five books, closing to the end. So it's going to be a very interesting time in this ministry. Verse 9, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but his physical presence is unimpressive, and his speaking is of no account. Such people should consider that when we are what we are in our letters, when we're absent, we will be in actions when we are present. This is a really nice way for Paul to say, okay, everybody who keeps thinking that my bark is worse than my bite, you're going to find out that there's a lot of bite that I still have. And when I get there in person, it ain't going to be a letter that's rebuking you. It's going to be me that's rebuking you. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like a little bit of a warning. It's almost like I've been pretty kind so far, but time is getting thin. That's so nice, right? All right, this last part, though, this is just huge. And I pray by the grace of God I communicate this well. Verse 12, we dare not classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves, they measure themselves by themselves, and they compare themselves with themselves, and they show that they are ignorant. Oh, boy. What is this? This is a dagger in the American spirit, no matter what you say. Don't get mad at me. I love America. Born and raised here. Absolutely the greatest country, certainly the greatest country in this world. Now, was it the wealthiest of all time? I don't know. Israel at its prime had silver was like rocks. I don't know if we got there yet. But this is a phenomenal country in spite of what all of the people that are wackadoodle say. That means nothing. But sometimes in the American spirit, there is a little bit of too much worldliness. And I'll give you the title that will help you understand where Paul's going with this. You ever heard of the expression, keeping up with the Joneses? What does that mean? That means that people try to be as good as other people because the other people are good so that they can be good, because then if they're good, then the other people are good, but then they're good or better, then they're even better than the other people, and at least they're not like those other people. Huh. Do you realize how dumb that sounds? I do. He says, if you commend yourself by yourself, guess what? You're measuring yourself with yourself. And you'll always meet the exact measure that you are. It's like you'll never do any better. It's like the problem is that that measure that you use, it can be wrong in the first place. And Paul's like, that's just ignorant. Don't do that. We cannot sit there and compare ourselves to one another. Let me tell you something that Christians do. Churches do. And don't tell me, because I've talked to associate pastors at churches, and I've heard them say it. So don't say it doesn't happen all the time, even in Dallas. It's like, well, we're not like those guys over there. They do this, we do this. It's like, really? That's the take? That's it? You're comparing yourselves with others? Hey, here's the one place you're supposed to compare yourself. Ready? Compare yourself to Jesus. And when you realize you're not quite there, humble yourself and say, help me, Lord, to get more to it. And don't sit there and say, well, I'm better than that person over there, because you don't know what that person went through. And maybe they're as far along as you, but their circumstances were different, so it looks different. What's a nice way that I'm trying to say all this? You do not have all the information that is necessary to evaluate how you and others are doing in comparison to you. Here's what you have. The Lord has called you. Do what he's brought before you and asked you to do. It was pretty simple. When Peter was kind of upset in the end of the Gospel of John, when he's like, when Jesus goes, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. They're going to drag you off. You're going to be crucified in a way you ain't going to like. And then he goes, what about this guy? What about this guy? Referring to John. And Jesus said, what? What is that to you? What do you care? Our job is to reflect Jesus Christ, not to compare ourselves to others, to feel like we have some sense of superiority. This keeping up with the Joneses spirit in America is not a healthy spirit. It's not that competition is bad, and it's not that a free market society is bad, but in the framework of it, there can be a lot of badness. And that one thing, keeping up with the Joneses, that's bad. And Paul's like, don't do that. Don't be that way. Don't be a person that compares yourself to other people. Let me explain something to you. You are supposed to reflect Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that you can evaluate yourself against. Here's the reason why Christians are commanded to judge and evaluate all the way across the board, but you're not, and I mean all the way across the board, but you're not allowed to hypocritically judge. That's what judge not means, because people were judging hypocritically, and you're not allowed to judge in the absence of knowledge. So when you evaluate another person whom you hardly know and their level of spiritual reality, you're assessing that you have all the knowledge of their situation. This is why God is the final judge, because only God has every nuance of every situation that every person has ever gone through. That's why he is entitled to judge away, and we are entitled to ask for mercy and grace. So Paul, in doing this, and yes, I know it's like, Dave, I like it when your yesterday's message was really up and lifting and yay, and it's like, I know, but you have to have the up, the down, the in, the out, the over, the left, the right, the everywhere, because in the Christian walk, we fall into things and we need to be careful. So Paul's just really assessing. He's like, look, we belong to Christ just as much as you, and the whole goal here is to build one another up, stop acting like what I have to say doesn't have any value or any power, because it does, and stop comparing yourself with other Christians, because that's dumb. And so if your church has 25 people, and you're looking at the church that has 25,000, and you're thinking something's not right, the fact that you evaluated that's what's not right. You know, in the kingdom of God, there are captains of, listen to this, there are captains or leaders of 10, 50, hundreds, and thousands. Did you realize? That's exactly out of Deuteronomy. The leaders of 10, 50, hundreds, and thousands. This is part of the design and the plan of God. If your church has got a lot of people, that's awesome. But it does require a lot of responsibility for everybody to be involved. If your church has a small group, that's what God designed. How many people did Jesus take around teaching for 3.5 years? 12? It's like, okay. He has the biggest church, but he didn't have the biggest following. Do you understand what that means? That's the spirit we got to have, okay? It's all about him and not about us. Okay, let's do the trivia question. Who was David's father? Was it Jesse, Saul, or Abner? And the answer is Jesse. It was Jesse was the father. That is 1 Samuel 17:17 is your easiest reference point. I can promise you what's coming up in this next hour is going to take you into space. Literally. I'm just telling you that right now. If you're in San Diego, you can keep listening by going to hemustincrease.org and hit the live, listen live button. If you're in Dallas, hang out. Don't go anywhere. More fun coming your way.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend. On the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man. Finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.